For some people in this congregation and in our communities, 2013 has been a fabulous year. And yet for some others, 2013 can't get over quick enough for them. I don't know which category you fall in, but I am resting assured and I am thankful that whatever your circumstance is, whatever your situation you fall under, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for God for bringing me to this place at the conclusion of the last Sunday of 2013. Let me thank all 23 of y'all for that rousing applause and celebration. And I thought as we close this year, I want to close this year, this Sunday service, by taking a look back at what has happened in our past and things that God would have us learn. And when we start off 2014, we're going to be looking forward, amen, with anticipation and excitement of what God has for our future. But it is impossible to have the full benefit of the future if you have not learned the lessons that God intended for you to learn from your past. I'm trying to help somebody learn a very valuable lesson, which is this. If you don't learn the lessons of your past, you are bound to repeat the experiences until you learn what it is that God wants you to learn. I should have got a few more amens on that point right there. The Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. It is his second letter to this jacked up group of people. They are a messed up people. There's adultery going on, incest, division, marital problems. There's all kinds of issues. They're suing each other. It's drama in the church. I keep telling y'all the Corinth was the ancient First Baptist Church of Glen Arden. I keep telling y'all that. The same stuff that's going on in their church goes on in our church. And the same stuff going on in our church went on in their church. There's nothing new under the sun. I don't know why people get surprised and shocked when they discover that church people did so and so. Well, what do you expect? The church is full of jacked up people. That's why it's a church. We are a hospital for sick people. This is not a social club for all the people that got it together, that dot every I and cross every T. This is not a social club where you have to walk on water, where you have to be perfect to be a part of. Matter of fact, we are a church where the head joker in charge is the jacked up joker in charge. Don't say amen on that point too loud. But Paul speaks to this church and writes to them to try to get them straightened out. And one of the things he says to them that I find amazing to me, again, in this book of 2 Corinthians, I've read this passage a zillion times, and each time I read it, it speaks to the core of something inside of me. He really wants to highlight and express some things to them from his own personal experiences. He wants to say to them some things that I think is applicable to you and us today. And I think what he wants to tell us is that there are some things that we need to learn from our yesterdays that will be benefit for us in our tomorrows. So let's take a look back and let me just give you the three lessons I want to highlight. Allow me to walk through these verses for just a moment. The first lesson I want us to recognize, that I believe Paul wants us to recognize, he says, learn to recognize the greater purpose in your problems. Let me roll that back and give it to you again. You got to recognize the greater purpose in your problems. So here's Paul, and I love this verse right here. He says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." Let me stick a pin right there, because listen to what he's saying. Paul is saying, I'm recognizing that God has supernaturally given me insight, and that's the fact. God had anointed Paul to write, to have insight into the ways of God, into the nature of God. Paul is the one who wrote most of this New Testament. And Paul says, unless I get exalted above measure, unless I get arrogant, unless my head gets real big, unless I get boasted up because of the abundance of insight that God gives to me, he says, God gave me a thorn in my flesh. Now, I need to stick a pin here and talk to you, because some of you Mitchellville nerds, some of you Bowieites, some of you who have arrived and got it going on, it's very possible because of the abundance of resources that God has given to you, because you live in a nice house and drive a nice car and wear certain particular clothes, there comes the potential that you might think that you are better than the folks from Southeast. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. I know y'all don't want to say amen. I know this 8 o'clock sophisticated, dressed up, drove up, diamond in the back, sunroof top, leading in your gangster lean vehicle, drove up into church today. You didn't catch the bus. You didn't have to have nobody pick you up. We don't need the bus. The church van doesn't even go to the New Carrollton Metro station at the 8 o'clock service, just at the 10 and especially the 12, because the 8 o'clock jokers got their own car. They ride up in their own ride. I wish I had somebody say, go ahead and preach, Pastor. And Paul is saying, God gave me abundance of revelation. He's given you abundance of resources. He's given you abundance of a career. He's helped you finish your job and do well. You got a retirement. Whatever your abundance is, he says, God gave me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. There was a problem issued into my life. There was something that came into my life that caused me pain. That caused me problems. And I think it's important for you and I to recognize that Paul says this thorn in the flesh was given to me. It is something that God permitted in his life. You see, the problem with the theology of today is that a lot of people think that if you get saved, you're never supposed to have any thorns in your life. Everything's supposed to be peaches and cream. You're supposed to have enough faith, and you're always going to have enough money. Your wife always going to hook you up. Your husband going to always treat you right. Everything, your kids going to always be behaving. But there's nothing further from the truth. The fact of the matter is you're going to have drama in your life. You have, some of y'all don't have a thorn in your flesh. You have thorns in your flesh. And Paul says that thorn was a messenger of Satan. Do y'all see that right there in the text? A messenger of Satan. It means that God was not the author of it. It's something that's in your life that God didn't author. That's an important point to make, because there's some stuff that God permits in your life that he did not create. But he permits them in your life. And sometimes people have problem recognizing that there are some things that God didn't create or God didn't generate, but God allows in your life. And there's a reason why he allows the devil to poke at you. There's a reason why he allows that thorn in your flesh, that challenging child, that problem with your finances, that wayward cussing husband, that drug addicted child. There's reason why he allows drama in your life. It says it is there to keep you from getting exalted. Y'all might as well tell the truth. If you didn't have the drama in your life that you have, you wouldn't stay on your knees. If you didn't get depressed and troubled every now and then, you wouldn't keep seeking God. If you didn't have money problems every now and then, you would think that you had it like that. But God allows things in your life to keep you humble. Paul says in verse 8, he says, this thing concerned him so much. He said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times. Verse 8. That it might depart from me. 3 times he said, I asked God to take it out. What is that thing that you keep asking God to remove, but he doesn't remove it? You keep asking him to change it, but he doesn't change it. Matter of fact, as each year goes through, as each year goes by, it seems to get worse. But my assignment is to tell you that there's a purpose in your problem. Tell your neighbor, there's a purpose in your problems. There's a purpose in the problem that you have that is greater than the problem. Y'all missed a great, let me rewind and give that to you again. There's a purpose in the problem, and the purpose is greater than the problem. Here's the fact, God could remove the situation at any moment. How many of y'all know God has the power? I said, how many of y'all know God has the power? He can move it instantaneously. I mean, you could wake up tomorrow morning and that thing that's been giving you the blues could be gone. But God kept it in your life, and you keep asking and asking and asking and pleading and pleading, and it stays right there. But Paul said he learned that God left it there lest I be exalted above measure. I like this because Paul says God kept it there because if I didn't have something there that kept me humble, Paul said I wouldn't be able to handle myself. Y'all might as well come on and say amen because some of y'all barely can handle yourself. But there's something that God permitted in your life. And I want to try to help you get to a place that God, that you understand that God kept it there so that you wouldn't get arrogant, so you wouldn't get independent, so you wouldn't have a great big old head, that you wouldn't be filled with pride, that you wouldn't boast, but that you recognize that you need God every moment, every minute of the day. I don't know where y'all are, but I need Jesus. I need a Jesus in my life. I need him to open up doors. I need to talk to him. I need to cast my cares on him. I need him all. Every day I need him. The challenges of my life, I have my own thorns in my flesh. I have my own issues. Y'all want to know what they are? Ain't none of your business. But I have some stuff that keeps me crying out to God, that keeps me on my knees, that keeps me humble, that I ain't all that. Because you know, the devil want to whisper in your ear and make you think you are all that. But look at your neighbor and say, you ain't all that. I know you think you a bag of chips, but your bag got more air in it than it got chips. Tell them. Go ahead and tell them. The lesson is that you got to recognize it's there for a reason. He left it there for a purpose. He left it there to keep you humble and keep you seeking him. I love Paul saying that. But then he didn't stop there. Paul says in verse number 9. Can I read verse 9 for a second? He says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Did y'all feel the Holy Ghost in that verse right there? Here's the second thing. You got to learn to celebrate your pain rather than complain. That's the lesson you got to learn. You got to stop complaining about your drama. Stop complaining about your husband. Stop complaining about your wife. Stop complaining about your kids. Stop complaining about your job. Stop complaining about your this or your that. Stop crying about it and learn to celebrate something. What you talking about, Pastor? Paul says that God responded to him and says, I know you've asked me to remove it 3 times, but my grace is sufficient. Celebrate the fact that God has given you grace to deal with whatever has happened in your life. Whatever is happening in your life, he gives you grace. Now, the word grace means that God gives you the power and the ability and the desire to do the right thing. Let me rewind and give that to y'all again. Grace means that God gives you the power and the ability and the desire to do the right thing. See, before you had grace, you didn't have the power to do right. You didn't have the ability. And you definitely didn't have the want to do right in you. Come on, y'all might as well say, you wanted to do wrong. But when God smeared grace on us, that grace means he put something inside of you that makes you want to do right. There used to be a song out, and this crowd probably knows it. This audience here probably knows it. The song says, seem like I gotta do wrong, gotta do wrong, gotta do wrong. Before you notice me. Y'all don't know that song right there? Oh, I know y'all lying. Seems like I gotta do wrong, gotta do wrong before you notice me. Who knows the song? Who would be honest and say, okay, thank y'all that y'all making me not feel like I'm crazy? All right, go look it up. Go Google it. Go put it on iTunes. It was a back hit. It was a big hit back in the day. I thought the 8 o'clock ride, ain't no need of me using that illustration at 10 or 12. Because if the 8 o'clock crowd don't know it, y'all not going to know it. You don't know it? Pastor Covenant, you know the song? It's by the Whispers. Thank you, Pastor Covington knows exactly. See, here's the essence of the song. Here's the essence of what I'm saying to you. Before you had grace, you had to do wrong. You didn't have a choice. You didn't have the power. You wanted to do wrong. Your desire, you tracked down wrong. You planned wrong. You plotted out wrong. You saved up money to do it. Come on, y'all. Just say amen with me for a second. If you don't know the song, say amen to the fact that you did wrong. You didn't have a choice. But when God smeared grace, I like this. Paul says, God said to me, my grace is sufficient. God gives you just enough grace, just enough to deal with what you have to deal with in life. He said, my grace is sufficient. I love that. And then he says this, oh, I feel a shout as I'm coming upon me. He says, I gave you grace that is sufficient. It's enough to ward off whatever your issue. It's there to raise the barrier to help you be able to overcome whatever it is that's going on in your life. He says, he gave me enough grace. And then he says this, he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Woo! Oh my God, I feel a shout coming on me. Y'all, went right over y'all's head. That's why I gotta come here and explain this thing to you. Because God is saying to Paul, I gave you grace, and when I give you grace, I'm giving you strength to help you when you feel like you're weak. Anybody here ever felt weak sometimes? Anybody ever felt like they couldn't take it another day? You couldn't go another moment? But here Paul says that God told him, I've smeared enough grace upon you that you are actually the strongest when you feel like you're the weakest. Oh, I feel a shout coming on me. This is a powerful revelation. Matter of fact, here's what Paul says. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. Y'all see that in verse 9? Therefore, most gladly, therefore, since I got this grace smeared on me, therefore, since my weakness, my strength is perfected when I'm weak, therefore, I'm going to boast. I feel a shout coming on me. Therefore, I'm going to celebrate in my infirmities. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When a weakness is knocking at your door, when the weakness is trying to sap your strength and you feel like you can't take it anymore, instead of complaining and crying, I want to challenge you to lift up your hands and give God some praise and say, God, I thank you that I'm weak, but when I'm weak, my strength is getting manifested. Matter of fact, he says, if I boast in my infirmities, the power of Christ will rest upon me. Wow. That shot over y'all heads again. Seems like I got to bring it down to y'all again. When I realize that I don't... See, here's where some of y'all mess up. You keep trying to overcome in your own strength. But when you start trying to do it by your abilities and your little plot and crazy schemes, your little crazy ideas, it really takes you deeper into your mess. When you learn to take your hands off, when you learn to stop trying to fix it or change things by your own abilities, when you learn how to stop that, oh, then God says his strength is made perfect. And Paul says, I love this passage. He says, I'm going to boast because I'm weak. And when I realize how weak I am, then the power of Christ will settle on me. Let me see if I can try to illustrate this. Let me illustrate this for you. Here's what I try to tell women all the time. Mother, wife. I try to tell them all the time. They keep trying to straighten out their husband. They keep trying to fix their husband. They keep trying to make him do right. And they do it like this. Running off at the mouth. And I'm reminded of one of our deacons was talking with his wife one day, and they were in a car driving, and she was just yapping, talking. And then she finally said, you don't hear anything. You haven't heard a word I said. He said, I heard everything you said. She said, well, tell me what you said, what I said. He said, you said, blah, 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 blah. I try to tell women all the time, as long as you got your mouth on it, God can't do anything with it. But the moment you shut it down, the moment you close your trap, come on, brothers, I'm trying to help y'all out now. If y'all would just say amen, preach, pastor, she ain't gonna hit you here in church. I try to tell the sisters, close it down, because God doesn't want to share his glory. God wants to change your drama. He wants to fix your jacked up husband. But as long as your mouth is on it, God doesn't want your husband or you to think that he'd change because of you. Shut it down. Close the trap. Let God work on him. Let God raise issues. Let God raise problems. And then he'll recognize he has to submit to God, and God will get the glory and not you. Oh, I got one brother. He didn't want to say amen, but he did like this, and I saw him on the side. He was holding his hands back behind his wife, and he did like this. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. I think I will. Praise the Lord. He wants his grace to rest upon you. And so we got to learn to celebrate rather than complain. Thank God that in the midst of this drama, the glory of God is resting on me. I want Christ's power to reside on me because I am weak. It's not me that's winning it. It's him that makes it happen. All right, let me close this. Here's my third and final point. It's in verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And here's another thing he says right here. He says it again. He says, not only does he boast, not only does he celebrate, but he takes pleasure in challenges. Here's my third point. He takes pleasure in challenges. Somebody say pleasure. And that's what he says right here in verse 10. I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. He says, I'm taking pleasures in infirmity. It means I don't have strength. In reproaches, it means I'm insulted and injured. In needs, it means I'm constrained by what I can do because I don't have the resources. In persecution, it means I'm being pursued by the devil. In distresses, it means I'm in a narrow place. He says, all these five areas, infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, he says, I take pleasure in it. I am celebrating it. I'm enjoying it because I recognize that when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. When I come to the realization that I'm nothing and I can't do anything, then that's when I'm strong. I'm trying to get y'all to understand, when you come to the realization that you are powerless, that you are feeble, but when you recognize you can't do it, but God can do it, he will give you might and power and grace that you become a mighty person. All right. Let me close this dynamic word. Amen. With this illustration, let me talk to you about a pearl for a moment. Pearls. Pearls are rare. Matter of fact, no two of them are alike. They come from an oyster. It is the result of a process that goes on inside of an oyster. Here's what happens. A foreign substance goes into the oyster. Matter of fact, it is created by the oyster being bruised or hurt or attacked. And something occurs where there is a foreign object introduced into the interior of the oyster, and it gets surrounded by a silky substance called nacre. Inside the oyster, the nacre surrounds and encircles the irritating substance, and in the process of time, it keeps surrounding and developing the irritant until it is transformed into a pearl. The nacre originates based on some external injury that has damaged the oyster. Oh, I feel a shout coming on me right here. Because here's the reality. There has been some external situation or circumstance that has created pain on the inside of you. And if you can be like the oyster and take that irritation and instead of crying about it, learn to celebrate it and put the joy of the Lord and the grace of God around it, it will transform the irritation into a pearl, somebody help me, which is of great price. When my human abilities recognize that I can't solve my problems, there's no sense in me crying and complaining. No sense in questioning God. No sense in doubting God. Instead, let me learn to celebrate. Let me learn to honor God and thank God that he allowed the issue to occur and happen. And so as we look back in 2013, I know that there's some things that happened this past year that brought drama and pain and hurt to you. But my assignment is to tell you, learn from the pain of your past. My job is to tell you, learn to celebrate rather than complain. My job is to tell you, learn to take pleasure in your challenges. When they come down the pipe now, learn to lift your hands and say, God, I thank you that this infirmity is in my life. Thank you for these approaches, reproaches, and these needs, and these persecutions, and these distresses, because I recognize that when I'm weak and I can't handle it, I know that you will make yourself strong. I want to thank God for every drama that has occurred in my past. I want to thank him because God is attracted. Let me close with this. God is attracted to the weak. Amen. God is drawn to the weak. God is for the underdog. Amen. Not just because they're the underdog, but because when you know you're the underdog, you ain't got a chance of winning. You don't have a chance. You don't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning. When you know that you can't win by your own power, that's when you realize you need help beyond yourself and outside of yourself. That's when you realize I need the Lord, and with him, I can do all things. Amen. Thank you so much.